Here's a new way for you to win the LPR bundle package. Submit a time cue with the show number for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. If your selection wins Soundbite of the Week, we'll send you an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. tote bag, notepad, pen, and bumper sticker. Just send your submission for Soundbite of the Week with a time cue and show number to talkback@issuesetc.org, and you could win the LPR bundle package. Talkback@issuesetc.org.
If I ever write this letter, all the pages I could write.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to go through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Our email address, it's open for you anytime, any place, talkback@issuesetc.org. Or you can use our listener comment line, that's 618-223-8382. What's first, Jeff?
Richard writes, I've been concerned that your coverage has become way too political and one-sided. Stick with the spiritual side of things. That's what I listen to Issues Etc. for as a confessional Lutheran. But if you continue to be involved in political issues, then you should cover this story, and it's a link to a New York Times opinion column, Trump delays election over coronavirus. Thanks for the email, and thanks for listening, Richard.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the premise of Issues Etc. It hasn't changed in decades, and it's always been, the title kind of tells you what you're in for. It's the issues of the day and other stuff, too. The title, as you might have noticed, while it's become associated with confessional Lutheranism and Lutheran theology very strongly, says nothing about Lutheran theology. Issues Etc., that title says nothing about Lutheran theology. Now, there's a reason for that, and that's because we cover more than just Lutheran theology and practice. We talk about the topics of the day, the politics of the day, the issues of the day, things that impact Christians in their everyday lives that they are interested in. Part of this is because we know that our listeners are busy people and they don't have time to digest everything. So we bring on expert guests to digest these things for them. And from time to time, you're going to disagree with the guests that we have on. Sometimes we have the guests on because they have a different point of view. What we don't want to do is, and we do take a decidedly conservative political viewpoint on several issues. You will know, we don't talk about whether we should have universal health care. We don't talk about how much the government should tax you. We don't talk about defense strategy. We might talk about related issues there.
Immigration reform. Immigration reform.
Whatever you want to. We talk about things where we can make a direct connection to a, as we say, a thus saith the Lord. So where God's word is very clear. So when we talk about these issues like abortion, family, children, marriage, divorce, all of those things where God's word clearly speaks, we speak with a lot more force. When we're in the territory of those things where God's word says nothing in particular to us, we basically leave it to the prudence and the judgment of our guests. And that's where you might have some disagreement with them. So the premise of the show has always been broad topics, both theology and we look at it in terms of a worldview. We say a Lutheran worldview, your guide to the Lutheran worldview that encompasses more than just Lutheran theology. Now, if you've been told by someone, maybe a pastor, that being a Lutheran means all you're concerned about is the doctrine of justification, and it has, and Lutheran theology has nothing to say to you about your life in your workaday world, you've been misled. Because there is a Lutheran worldview. I know a lot of people blanch at that concept of a worldview, but there is a Lutheran ethos. Our theology affects everything we say, think, and do, and it informs that. Sometimes it just says you are free to do or think or say thus and so. And sometimes it says, no, you are not free to say that because God's word binds you, binds your conscience in these matters. So we try and kind of reflect that whole worldview approach in at Issues Etc.
For the sake of open disclosure, I mean, we have discussed some of those issues if we're doing like a Washington update or the upcoming elections, and those are issues where Biden and Trump might disagree. So we do an interview with Mark and or Molly Hemingway.
And we don't take a position.
I wouldn't say we don't talk about it.
Well, we don't talk about them unless we will talk about them peripherally. But then, as I said, we leave it to the judgments and the prudence of our guests to they state their opinions on these things. And I may agree or disagree. I don't generally chime in at that point when it comes to things that where God's word doesn't clearly speak. But we do discuss them, and we do discuss the politics of the day because that's the framework for a lot of these other issues that really matter.
Having gone through, how many presidential election cycles have you been through?
Well, I came on in 1998 doing this show.
So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, well, somebody's got to do the math on the... I always get confused between the LCMS, the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod election, which is every 3 years. This will be presidential elections. What's that?
This will be Todd 6.
Todd 6, Craig says. And the Olympics. And if you throw in FIFA World Cup, I'm really confused.
Yeah. So my 6th presidential election cycle hosting this program.
And mine's 7th.
Yeah. So these things always come up.
So Richard's email, we're going to be getting inundated with similar email. Your show's too political. And it's usually because they disagree with what the guest said.
Right. And look, the show has never been political in the sense of, I've been privately political about these things because I'm a free man in a free country, but the show's never been political one way or the other. If we oppose the candidacy of Joe Biden, it's because he has godless policies, or at least he's purporting godless policies. The man may believe differently in his heart. I certainly hope he does, but his views on marriage and the unborn are godless.
Jim writes, hello. A comment in a recent episode of My Favorite and Yours, responding to listener email, piqued my interest. Who are the most requested, searched, downloaded guests and or subjects in your on-demand archives? Just curious and hope you've recovered from the conference, concludes Jim.
So that's kind of a Jeff question because Jeff watches the numbers very closely.
Daily.
Like number of downloads that we get on particular episodes. People have often asked you, why don't you just have the show in one two-hour block? And it's because we like to be able to track, and we do track, the downloads for each individual segment, therefore guests and topics as well. And so Jeff watches these things every single day, like a Wall Street watches the stock ticker every single day to see what's being downloaded.
So a good rule of thumb, if somebody is on the program weekly, that means they have an audience. People do bond to guests. And so when you hear Paul McCain, Peter Bender, when you hear Chris Roseborough,
Brian Wolfmiller,
when we hopefully will get Mark and Molly Hemingway on weekly leading up to the presidential and the November elections, the reason they're on so much is because they
get downloads.
They get downloads. Exactly. So that should Terry Mattingly.
And they're great guests. I mean, we should say.
Right.
I mean,
right,
they really are good guests, and that's why they get the downloads.
Well, there's probably a direct relationship. They're great guests, and therefore they have a sizable audience.
So those are the numbers we look at. We don't get a lot of requests for guests, I don't think, on a regular basis. Oh, have this person on or have him on more. Because we've kind of fine-tuned the program, we do have our listeners' favorite guests on more often. And the numbers tell the story on those things.
Did I mention Brian Wolfmiller?
I did.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Yeah.
If you look at, say, Brian Wolfmiller, if he's on in an average week, he's going to be in the top two or three of all the downloads during that week. He knows it, too. We shouldn't tell him that, but it's a dangerous thing.
But he's not number one. I can tell you that. Nathan writes, I'm listening to a wonderful episode by Aaron Wolf right now on Lutheran Talk Radio, your 24/7 talk station. I want to pull it up in the future to share with others, but I can't find it when I search the archives. Does the search of archives search all past episodes? Thanks, writes Nathan.
Sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. It's better than it used to be. Now that we have upgraded our website, a search of the archives does a better job of pulling everything up. Did we do a page for Aaron Wolf after he passed away? I don't recall.
Yes, we did. But if you go into that search engine, You'll find, and just type Aaron Wolf's name in there, you'll find all those shows and more.
And quite a number of shows. He was a guest for a long, long time.
So let's walk through the process. Issuesetc.org. There's headings at the top. The one in the upper left is talk. Click that, and then you go to on-demand archives. Okay? Upper right-hand corner is a little rectangular box with the eyeglass stating to search, type, and press enter. So you just put your topic, or in this case, put the guest, Aaron Wolf, and bada bing, there it is.
And it will show you the Aaron shows and keep you busy.
Which gets me to Eric in New Jersey's email. You guys have done some segments on all the other books of the Bible with Pastor Wolfmiller. I thought it'd be useful to do some segments on the Apocrypha, covering each book in detail, discussing the history of the books, how they had never been considered inerrant or infallible, how and why the Roman Catholic Church came to declare them to be inerrant and infallible, etc.
We did a series with Dr. Andrew Steinman, if I recall correctly, on the Apocrypha, and talked about each of those books there. And we didn't include the Apocrypha in our Introduction to the Books of the Bible series with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. And it's probably because Brian just wanted to talk about the canonical books, and he knows more about the canonical books. A lot of Lutheran pastors, even though the Apocrypha has a very storied history in Lutheran theology and in Lutheranism, a lot of Lutheran pastors, like myself, don't know much about the apocryphal books. We probably should know more. Pastor Will Whedon is the exception. I think he knows as much about the apocryphal books as he does about the canonical books. He can quote them with similar alacrity. When we come back from this break, we're going to have more of your email talkback at issuesetc.org and the listener comment line 618-223-8382.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our study of St. Matthew with Holy Innocents Martyrs, from Egypt to Galilee, the introduction of the Baptist and the coming one, and Jesus receives a sinner's baptism? Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org. and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
Silicon Valley is a place of cutting-edge innovation which radically changes lives, where science fiction is already in research and development. In the heart of this digital chaos is a sanctuary of constancy and reverence, Hope Lutheran in Fremont, where nothing is new under the California sun, where the timeless gospel is proclaimed and the sacrament is celebrated with the historic liturgy that truly changes lives. And thanks to Silicon Valley, you may find us on the web at hopelutheranfremont.org.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor: Bethlehem Lutheran, Fairborn, Ohio; Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas; Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma; Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa; Mount Olive Lutheran, Cleveland Heights, Ohio; Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin; Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Snohomish, Washington; St. Mark Lutheran, Waco, Texas; St. Timothy Lutheran, Dayton, Ohio, and Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. listener comment line.
During the break, COVID Craig Feichninger just sneezed twice.
And you're sitting like 1 foot away from him.
I'm not practicing social distancing because I don't think I can. I don't think this microphone will go that far with its arm. So be aware, if you don't hear Schwarz during next week's listener email, you know what? It could be a plot for Craig to get this microphone to expose me to COVID, and then he could read listener email next week, and we wouldn't have to fight for a third microphone.
Well, Lynn, you've got the that infrared thermometer. Do you need to come in and
yes,
tempt these
guys?
Yes,
she already offered. Right when I said, Craig just sneezed twice, and I'm within like 3 feet of him.
Then come in and tempt these guys. Yeah. We need to do a little testing here, and then we'll just send Craig up to Milwaukee to stay with the Cardinals. I think they're taking up permanent residence in Milwaukee right now.
COVID Craig and COVID Cardinals. Now, look, if you don't like inane banter and you listen on demand, just fast forward for about a minute here. Let me go off. The great St. Louis baseball Cardinals catcher Yadier Molina has been reported as one of those with COVID. How is this possible? I thought he was immortal. How could Yadier Molina contract COVID-19? It simply cannot happen.
Have you seen him lately?
No, I haven't.
Oh gosh, he looks like I know he's 40, but he looks like he's about 21. He's lost even more weight than he did 2 years ago. He looks fantastic, but and the first couple games, his defense was unbelievable. But
yeah, I saw him throw a guy out at first base.
He threw a guy out at first base. Here's Lynn. She's temping the...
I'm 98.3. Is that normal?
Yeah.
Okay. Craig, what about you?
All of you together.
Oh, 98.3.
All right.
Well, we'll keep you updated at the end of the show.
Jeff lives another day.
We'll give you an update. How long does it take for me to actually get this thing? I mean, is it within 25 minutes? I'm hoping it comes soon so I don't have to finish reading listener email. Well, I'm looking up, how old is Yadier Molina?
I think he's
38.
Claims to be 38.
And it's the last year's contract. And, of course, we will probably sign him to at least 2 to 3 more years.
Certainly.
Because it's the John Mozeliak, general manager, the Cardinal way.
Well, okay, I'm just going to have my piece on this. What frustrates me the most is this is going to be the season with the asterisk. Obviously, it should be a season with the asterisk. But they're not going to learn anything. They're not going to learn that their batting lineup is the worst in baseball. They're not going to learn that they're putting people in there who wouldn't be batting in the regular lineup on any other team. They're not going to learn that because COVID. They'll just say, well, we got to just throw this entire experience out because of COVID. And we've essentially skipped a year. It's like we fast-forwarded a year and they've learned nothing. I'm saying Cardinals management has learned nothing.
And the greatest fans and most knowledgeable fans in baseball will continue to support signing players way beyond their peak performance years. I got sidetracked because you were able to correctly pronounce asterisk. How can a young Wilkin who grew up with a lisp who can't say myths... But you were able to say asterisk.
I practice. No, I had a lisp my entire childhood. Was roundly derided for it. That toughened me up. That and having four brothers, daily fist fights. And then when I got to college, I had to lose both the Texas twang and I had to lose the lisp. If you're going to be a preacher, you had, and I worked on it. So
I don't believe you ever had Texas.
I did have a Texas twang.
No,
I didn't know I had one until I went to Nebraska, and I found out very quickly that everyone could pigeonhole me. It was like, you watch Big Bang Theory?
No.
Okay. Sheldon Cooper's Texas twang. That's what I had. I had Sheldon Cooper's Texas twang when I went to
Craig
Nebraska.
Craig wants to hear the old Wilkin Texas
Can't
twang.
Can't do it anymore. The only way, you have to get a couple drinks in me, and then it comes back.
I mean, was it as good as like Kenneth Copeland?
Oh, no. It was definitely Northern Texas. It was not East Texas. It was not a drawl. It was just a little bit of a twang that the people in the Midwest could hear. And so knowing that I was destined for a life of broadcasting, I trained myself out of the twang and out of the lisp.
For those of you who have fast-forwarded, this is the end of inane banter. Brian writes, there have been a couple issues addressed on the show lately, online communion, pastors preaching contrary to the Lutheran confessions, etc., that have me wondering why the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod doesn't do anything, not even in a sense of punishment, but in a sense of making sure the LCMS name isn't associated with something that we categorically reject. As another example, one of the few LCMS churches in my area is essentially just Pentecostal with vestments. They don't do confession absolution, they speak in tongues and whatnot. When I joined my current church, I asked about them and everyone just said, no one in the synod or district will do anything. We've tried. They aren't Lutheran. And there was a sense of sadness. It's weird enough being Lutheran in the South without some thinking the essentially Pentecostal church is representative of what we believe, teach, and confess. It seems if we are going to be headed for more secularization in the future, now would be a good time to make sure we are at least all on the same page. Thanks for the email. Thanks for listening, Brian.
Part of the problem is that we have a polity that is slanted toward congregational autonomy. It's not entirely that, but it is almost completely autonomous congregations. We do have a system of ecclesiastical supervision, which when it worked properly would, and the problem's not with the system, it's with the people that man the system. If it worked properly, or those in the system worked properly the way that they said that they would when they took office, could deal with these things. It wouldn't eliminate it because, again, we have a polity that is slanted toward the autonomy of the congregation, but it at least could get some preliminary kind of disciplinary discussions going. You know, the old saying is where there's a will, there's a way, and there just isn't the will to do this in so many cases. There isn't the will among the circuit visitors who are the local pastors who are kind of the first line of defense against congregations that deviate from Lutheran doctrine and practice. And I'm not across the board, but in a lot of places, there isn't the will among our district presidents who are the official ecclesiastical supervisors over their districts. They may talk a good game, and some of them actually do what they were hired to do. But in many cases, it's easier just to let these things go and to not rock the boat. A lot of people very wrongly blame our officials at the synodical level for not exercising discipline, but it begins in the circuits and it begins in the districts. And if you can't make it happen there is no mechanism for our synodical level officials, even all the way up to our synodical president, there is no mechanism for them to enact discipline at the congregational level. It's not in our Constitution or bylaws. It has to be, for lack of a better word, from the chain of command starting at the bottom rather than starting at the top. They can express concern. They can speak personally in a pastoral way about these things. And our current synodical president has on numerous occasions, but they can't just make things happen, much less discipline congregations. That has to start from the ground up. It actually really needs to start in the congregations themselves. But talk about a lack of will. These congregations are willingly departing from Lutheran doctrine and practice, and their pastors are happily leading them down that primrose path.
I didn't hear what you said at the beginning, but pastors in that same circuit could file charges against
That's part of the mechanism. Yeah. That's part of the grassroots mechanism where let's look at it this way. If the congregation won't do their job in holding their pastor accountable, he vowed to conform his entire ministry, his preaching and his teaching and his practice to the scriptures and the Lutheran confessions. And if he's not doing that, the congregation has the responsibility to hold him accountable. He made a vow, a sacred vow before God and before them, that he would do this. If the congregation won't do it, it falls to the fellow pastors, and in particular, the circuit visitor. We used to call them circuit counselor, where they have the responsibility to hold him accountable. And very often they do, they just get ignored. And then the bottleneck is usually at the district level, where a district president, sometimes they will act on this, and a lot of times they just say, yeah, you guys just quit your squabbling. I got enough on my plate already. So we do have a mechanism, both for theological dissent and for the redress of errors. And the reason you don't often hear about it when it's done is that the process is designed to be somewhat discreet at the beginning and only public at the very, very end. So it may be happening, but probably not. When we come back, we'll go through more listener email and we'll go through the comment line a little bit more. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Y'all come back now, you hear?
Church and state, communion fellowship, the church year, baptism, Lutheranism. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is a simple explanation series. It's a pack of 20 pamphlets with solid biblical guidance on various Christian topics. A simple explanation pamphlet is perfect for outreach programs, new member classes, and in the church pews. Learn more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. A simple explanation series.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.
I'm assuming you got my message on your machine.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line.
Angela lives in Canada and she writes, greetings in Christ. First, I would like to thank you for a wonderful online conference last weekend. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Secondly, I would like to thank you for your recent interview with Wesley Smith about annual report on medical assistance and dying in Canada. When I saw the interview had been posted, I knew it would be bad. I know my country is far down a dangerous road and continuing to barrel down that road at breakneck speed. I didn't realize just how far we've actually gone. In response to your curiosity about what Canadians think about life issues such as abortion, physician-assisted suicide, and euthanasia, I will say that there are varying opinions. We have, as a country, very much capitulated to the culture of death. Part of this may be ignorance. The media rarely covers issues regarding MAID, a euphemism I very much dislike, And when it does, it is to portray it as a good and compassionate thing. How could we possibly want people to suffer with these conditions? There is little talk of, instead of killing people who are suffering, finding ways to help alleviate their pain and loneliness while helping them to live with dignity. Finding voices opposing abortion, assisted suicide, and euthanasia is often difficult and limited to religious publications such as the Canadian Lutheran. We have no major political parties that are pro-life, and only one major party where people who are pro-life are even given voice. Please continue to cover these issues so faithfully and thoughtfully, and please pray that the people and government of Canada would see the great harm they are doing by surrendering to this culture of death, and that we would instead find ways to build a culture of life. Thanks for listening in Canada, Angela.
Well, thanks for that Canadian perspective. I asked Wesley at the beginning of that interview, if I recall, how far behind Canada the U.S. was when it came to these issues of physician-assisted suicide. And I think he said something like, well, very far behind, and but they're moving so fast, we probably will never catch them. So we will remain behind them on that, and that is a good thing that we're not pursuing this culture of death as enthusiastically as the Canadians have. But it does kind of show us the path forward. If you want to know what a future America will look like if we don't turn the tide on valuing every human life from conception to natural death, because it has intrinsic value. If we don't turn the tide on that, we will look like Canada. We'll look like Canada with better music, or Canada with better media, or Canada with better sports teams, except for hockey. You know, there's not that big of a difference between our two countries. Politically, they may have a different system, but we're kind of, well, on the same path, and they're showing us the path forward into, deeper into the culture of death. There's no doubt about it. What were you guys giggling about in there?
We were trying to figure out another sport that Canadians were better than Americans. And we're thinking of that Olympic sport. What's that sport where you got that?
Curling.
Curling. Yeah, there's probably other ones that they're better.
Maybe anything competitive skiing. Yeah, things like that. What else is there?
What I'm amazed
is figure skating is a sport. I mean, figure skating, things like that.
What I'm amazed is how many Alaska-oriented shows, and Beth and I watch virtually all of them, but there aren't that many, like Canada. Isn't like the climate similar in Canada than it is in Alaska, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
My knowledge of Canada is very, very limited. I mean, all I picture when I picture Canada is an old girlfriend from college and Ted Geese. Who else do I know that's Canadian? Isn't Tom Baker Canadian?
We got Tom Winger, you know, our friends.
Yeah, but like I couldn't name the provinces across from east to west in Canada. I couldn't pick them out on a map. I could name probably six of them, but I couldn't tell you where they are.
So when you were dating this Canadian young woman, was this at a time when you still had your Texas twang?
I was in the process of losing it.
So it turned to be sometimes, what's that Garth Brooks saying? Thank God for unanswered prayers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Otherwise, you wouldn't have gotten Maria. You probably wouldn't even be hosting a show. You'd be in Canada.
I'd be up in Canada. I don't know.
Ice fishing. Curling.
Maybe I'd be the best curler in Canada.
Okay, I got to read the email.
That's a great song, by the way.
It is. Elizabeth writes, thank you for your recent interview with Pastor Whedon on the hymn, Thy Strong Word. I listened to it this morning, sang along, and was reassured of Christ's light and salvation. It left me pondering that it might feel like it is a dark time, but really, can it be if Christ is our God and has won the victory over death? So thank you. I also have many memories tied to the hymn. I'm the daughter of a now retired second career pastor. I distinctly remember singing this at chapel services at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. When my father started school there, the new chapel was being built. I remember singing it in the temporary chapel when he started school, and then singing it in the new chapel on call day. It was very powerful with the new organ and all of the men singing. I was 12 at the time. I would like to request a hymn on We Praise You and Acknowledge You. This is new to me in the last few years. When we received our new pastor, he taught it to us, and it has become a much beloved hymn, honestly, right up there with Thy Strong Word, but I don't know anything about it. Thank you for all that you do, and thank you, Elizabeth, for listening.
Well, the good thing about that is that particular hymn, The author of that particular hymn is still alive, and we've had him on the program many times, Pastor Stephen Starkey. He wrote, "I Praise You and Acknowledge You." The tune is very powerful. He did not write the tune. The tune is actually Jupiter, but I think that's what people associate it with in Lutheran circles now, is that Te Deum that he wrote. And have we done a hymn study on Starkey's hymn, "We Praise You and Acknowledge You"?
Yes, showing Pastor Whedon's. I sent this email to Pastor Whedon. He goes, "Yeah, I'd love to study that hymn, but I see that we've already studied this hymn back in 2013 with Pastor Whedon."
With Pastor Whedon?
Yes.
Okay. Talk about institutional memory.
So let's remember, how do we find it, Todd? What do we do to
find
it?
We go to Issues ETC, then we go to Talk, and then we go down to
issuesetc.org.
Then we go to Talk, and in that little pop-down menu, there's on-demand archives. Click on that. Up in the right-hand corner, there's a little rectangle. And you type in the keyword, in this case, probably, "We Praise You and Acknowledge You." And that hymn study will come up for you with Pastor Will Whedon, even though Jeff and I had completely forgotten that we'd ever studied that hymn. Good and that's Jeff. Unusual for Jeff. He remembers everything and everyone.
Well, I knew we did it. I just didn't know if it was Whedon or Just. So when Whedon got back to me, I just assumed that we did it with Dr. Arthur Just. And so, you know, I just looked at it now and it's like,
why haven't we done it with Steve, though? Why haven't we done it with Starkey himself?
That's a really good question. Really good question. Kathy in Waterloo. "Dear Pastor Wilkin and Jeff," like Burger Chef and Jeff, "thank you for a very well-done conference this year in spite of all the virtual challenges. Matt Walsh was outstanding. I have listened to his presentation twice and have inscribed his final remarks. Quote, 'If they, the protesters and the woke crowd, actually do tear this country down, dismantle it as they want to, then the luxury and freedom and comfort that they take for granted really will disappear, and they will finally get the authentic version of the oppression they so desperately want. And once they have it, I suspect they will quickly decide they don't really want it, but they will no longer have a choice at that point. All they will be able to do is lie in the bed they have made for themselves. And we will all have to be in the same bed, unless we as the rational, we as the moral, we who understand objective truth and objective morality, unless we stand in the way for their sakes and for our own," end quote. "I've never heard our current reality described so succinctly and so bravely. Thank you again for bringing us the truth, painful though it be," writes Kathy in Waterloo.
A lot of good response to our virtual conference. Jeff and I went in with low expectations, not of our speakers or of the technical abilities, but we had never done this before. So due to the excellent, excellent service of three guys there at Concordia University Chicago, and basically having everything completely ready for us, if we had a technical problem, they came back with a number of solutions and fixed it for us. And then, of course, our excellent presenters who came in, showed up on time. Walsh was almost not on time. He got lost, but we managed to get him somehow mic'd up, and people do not realize he literally walked in the room. We put on a mic on him, stood him in front of the camera, and he gave that presentation after having been lost on campus for a little while, and pulled off a fantastic presentation there. He just walked in, we stuck a mic on him, and he had to talk.
And if you didn't register for the conference, it is available on demand for on-demand viewing. If you just go to issuesetc.org, click watch the 2020 conference, for a suggested donation of $250, there are options for you to watch the 2020 virtual Issues, etc., Making the Case conference.
So in essence, registration is still open. You just won't be watching it live. You'll be watching it on demand. Go to issuesetc.org, and there's right in the center of the menu bar, there's a way that you can watch our conference.
And we don't have much time to respond to this, but I have to read this. James from Boston. Boston.
Is that better?
Boston. "If I can do Boston, why can't you do Texas twang?" James in Boston writes, "If travel restrictions weren't in place, I would fly from Boston, Massachusetts to Caseyville, Illinois, just to visit tropical snow. I don't know what a Bahama mom is, but Jeff's pitch of it has me convinced that I want one. That is all. Thanks. Thank you for listening, James in Boston."
So what is a Bahama mama?
I have no idea. I just read the script and wrote the script. I don't know what it is. But yeah, so Anyway.
I think it's the first word you say in the
it is.
In the copy is Bahama Mama. That must really make an impression on people. Well, I was over there at Tropical Snow. I haven't had one yet. I'm going to go over and unlike Craig, I'm going to pay for one, right? But I don't think I can eat that much ice. I have to watch my girlish figure.
I think it's time for us to go so we don't upset affiliates. Okay. Tomorrow we've got words of scripture.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be doing Blessed with Pastor Will Whedon, who is host of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever in our series on the words of scripture. Anything else we're doing tomorrow?
Media coverage of religion Wednesdays with Terry Mattingly.
All right. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll be back tomorrow.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore, thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you and the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.